following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on, North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. Custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, 1st Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We are on the road back at Bandits in Grand Island, getting you ready for the weekend. That is the NFL and college football scene and the home stretch of the Major League Baseball season. Doug Duda, our friend Steve Anderson, kind enough to join us again today for the next hour. We're going to be catching up with Bill Cubitt, the offensive coordinator at the University of Illinois. He used to be the head coach at Western Michigan. He has had a variety of stints throughout his career, and there's a lot of questions about how good that Illinois offense is. They've got a good quarterback in Wes Lund, but he sounds like so far this year it's kind of a 50-50 deal. One good half, one not so good half in each game. They're 3-1. They lost at Washington. The other three teams that they played would make McNeese State blush a little bit. So, again, we've talked about a little bit on the show this week, and this is a game, Steve, where Nebraska is clearly the better football team, but in this day and age, that doesn't necessarily mean anything anymore. The spread's between 17 and 19. I think even Illinois people would agree that that's at least Nebraska is that much better. But you're between Miami of Florida and Michigan State, potential trap game. This I'm not even going to say this could say a lot about the Huskers, because I don't want to set a negative overtone if they go out and win a football game by 14 or 17 or 10 points here. But if they do go out and handle business and cover and win by a very nice margin, let's say they win by 28, 35 points, whatever the case may be, I think that's some real good focus and at least gives you a pretty good vibe going into the Michigan State game.
It does. It's a classic trap game. You know, I gave this scenario to you, Doug, and again, thank you for letting me occupy this seat.
Well, nobody else will do it.
Well, obviously, the short list is extremely short this time of year, but it's always a pleasure. I kind of described, you know, the McNeese State game as a potential trap play, and I encouraged you and anyone else who might have the opportunity of getting a free ticket. If you're ever going to get a free ticket, that probably was going to be the game. Well, my wife and I, we did take advantage of that. Of course, we got to sit in the skybox for the McNeese State game, and this thing was a slobber knocker from the get-go. And quite frankly, you know, it's always concerned me about Bo Pelini coach teams. You just don't want to be lured into some false sense of security coming off what I still think was an emotional win in the opener against Florida Atlantic. You don't think he wasn't trying to lay it on to maybe make do for the way his brother was treated down there? Just thinking out loud. Nonetheless, Bo Pelini's team seemed to have terrible, terrible times adjusting at halftime. And against McNeese State, in the second half, they got beat on both sides of the ball, and it was one of those, you know, got beat everywhere but on the scoreboard, and they were very fortunate to get away with a win in that particular affair. I described it as a potential trap game because, again, they come off the emotional win and the rollover on Florida Atlantic and have to face going on the road, playing a night game in a snake pit at Fresno State, a really late game. Yeah, on paper, it didn't look like Fresno maybe was very good this year, but potentially when you have to go play somewhere that's in the middle of nowhere, and trust me, have you talked to anybody that went to that Fresno game?
Yeah, I did. I can give you a firsthand account, yes.
Were you there?
No. Okay, well, a secondhand account.
It's 3 hours from anywhere in any direction. I mean, there's no easy way to get to Fresno. I even heard Tom Chattel later on the following week say they must never, ever go back and play at Fresno again. Nonetheless, so here we come off of an emotional win against Miami. We really don't know how good they are. I guess we'll learn a little bit more this Saturday when they host Duke, one of the formidable teams in the ACC, and they're a mild 6-point favorite, I think. But all focus, I think, from the get-go has been on Michigan State, even though they say they play them one game at a time, and that sits off a week down the road. And so we aren't going to run Amir Abdul 35 times against Illinois. We're not going to show
not.
A whole heck of a lot, I would think. I look for a really good football game out of Illinois, even though, again, on paper, it looks like a total mismatch. But, hey, don't you think Missouri thought that when they went in to play Indiana last week?
Well, that's where you got to be. You got to be ready to go, no matter what the coaches say and or what the players think. And you look at volleyball last night, John Cook says it in his press conference. He goes, you know, we beat Iowa, and I'm pleased, but he can't come out and say Iowa isn't good. I mean, all these teams that are in the Big Ten that are ranked, and, well, they're not one of them. And 31-29 third set, a lot of people are happy to win in a sweep, but Nebraska dominated the first two and kind of let up, as he said in his opinion, and it's hard. It's hard to go wire to wire, and Coach Harper from Hastings College was talking about that this week. He says you got to go every play. In reality, you're just not going to do that. You can't do that. You're not made to do that. You'll check out a play or two mentally, physically. Something happened the point before, the play before, the practice before, the day of. That's gonna affect somebody on the team. And that's why it's so hard to win conference, national championships, you know, districts, whatever your sport is. That's why it's hard to do that, because everything has to click. And 5-0 would be 5-0 no matter how you look at it. But we will have Bill Cubitt joining us here from Illinois. Luke Hoover will answer all your fantasy football questions. Already got a couple of them piped in here. And I chuckle because I feel the pain of a lot of injuries, especially at the running back position, where they've been telling us that is not the deep part. And that's not the thing you focus on in fantasy football, but you still probably got to start two of them every week, and you got to find somebody that's going to touch the ball. We've already got a few comments there. Got an email from somebody that's in a 20-person league. Why? Why? Do two tens. Hell, there ain't enough players to get in a 20-person league, and I'm not even sure I know all the guys he's talking about here. What? I think he's messing with me. The 20-person league, I've never heard of it.
I thought we were stretching it with 15, and this is a keeper league, you know, one of those dynasty leagues. I mean, it's murder, and they play for keeps, these guys around here, you know.
Well, get us your questions for Luke. Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Facebook us, email us, or tweet him in. Again, the Doug and Daddy Debt Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. And those are the numbers, 1460 1550. And of course, Facebook at ESPN Superstation. For Bandits today, while we are here, lunch special on this Thursday is a smoked pork loin sandwich, fries, and a soda. You give them an Abe Lincoln, you're good to go. $4.99 for a smoked pork loin sandwich, fries, and a soda. It's today's lunch special. I don't know how you can beat it here at Bandits. Of course, if you're coming in tonight for Thursday night football, whether it's college, and there's a couple of good ones out there, whether it's the NFL game, which is going to be interesting, Redskins-Giants, or whether you just want to watch the Royals or your favorite Major League Baseball team as we fight over this last weeknd of the season, it's all here for you. Wing night tonight at Bandits Sports Bar and Grill, and we'll be talking a lot more about what's going on here in Grand Island and what's going on this weekend in just a moment. But right now, we'll take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, who is your pick to win the Ryder Cup? 57% of our listeners are communists. 43% are American. 57% said Team Europe is going to win. I and 43% of the other folks say Team USA. I don't care if we're the underdog. It's our turn.
Yeah, well, history sides with us being in our proper place there. You know, I've been waking up in the middle of the night and watching this Ryder Cup stuff. I'm not a diehard golfer. I love the game. It doesn't love me. But this thing really has developed a life of its own, and I'm really looking forward to it. I don't understand the three-day concept and five matches. You're going to have to explain a little bit of that to me.
There is as much of this Ryder Cup that I've watched, try to research. There is still some befuddlement to me. They sell the Ryder Cup to the folks as Team A versus Team B, and that's what they make their merit on. I still don't understand how they choose who plays each other. Blind draw, who puts it up first? Do you stack your 12 and the other guy stack their 12, and then on Sunday you go, okay, your number six and my number six is, you know, Henrik Stenson against Phil Mickelson. I still haven't understood that. And quit calling it four ball and foursomes. Call it what it is. Alternate or your own ball. Best ball. It's alternate and best ball. Quit calling it stuff that confuses people. I've watched it all this time, and I'm a simpleton, I still get confused on the actual format. But they jam it into 3 days. That's enough. That's enough. Morning and afternoon sessions. That's a lot, and it's a lot of golf. And I think also, Steve, it kind of makes you play a majority of your guys, because if you spread it out any farther, let's face it, you could set four guys until the Sunday singles or whatever day you'd play that on, and that'd be the only action they see. But there are way more great golfers now than there ever have been.
Why don't they just call this a two-man scramble? They were practicing the other day, Mickelson and Fowler hitting every other shot. Now,
but it's not a scramble. They never play the scramble format in the Ryder Cup. You're always playing either alternate shot, you tee off, and no matter what happens, I hit the next shot. No matter what happens, you hit the next shot, and then you finish out the hole. Or you just play your own ball through, and whoever has the best score, that's what you put down. Those are the only two formats that are used, and then you got straight match play on Sunday.
What if some sheep herder in Scotland would have said we only needed to play 10?
Well, this all started with the Midtown Mark cooler question. It's Thursday, so we ask you what you think the Huskers will do on Saturday against Illinois. We've already talked about it. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're using 20 as the point spread today. Will they win and cover the 20? Will they win and not cover, or will they lose outright? Nebraska-Illinois Saturday. What's your thoughts? Vote now on the Midtown Mark cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Steve, are we in agreement that the Huskers will win and not cover?
Yes, I'm siding in that direction again. I think you get in, try to minimize injuries primarily, save a little in the tank for the big game, Michigan State, which potentially puts us back on the radar screen in the big picture of college football. So we're probably going to lose points unless Illinois doesn't show up, and I choose to believe that won't be the case. I think they'll give us a pretty good run.
They're 3-1, a chance to get out of the basement of the Big Ten Conference, and it's going to be tough on the road at a team that more and more people think can win the West. And again, I have not argued about Nebraska having the best talent. I just think that they have a way tougher schedule, and I'm not going to go away from that, because it could come down to Nebraska, Iowa for the championship, which would be something, playing this out every day until the day after Thanksgiving. But vote now at our ESPNSuperstation.com on the Midtown Mart cooler question. And then if you're not heading to the game in Lincoln, come on down. You've already figured out how to watch late-night college football. Fresno State, that was 9:30. This is only 8 o'clock. Come on down to Bandits, where they'll have burgers on the grill or right out on the patio here in the beer garden. Of course, beer bucket specials, 5 for 12, 6 for 15, and $2 cherry bombs every time the Huskers score, which they have been doing a lot of lately. So there you go. Come on out, watch Husker game at Bandits. Swing by, have lunch today. The smoked pork loin sandwich with french fries and a soda, just $4.99. When we come back, going to talk a little horse racing with Steve Anderson, Bill Cuban, offensive coordinator from Illinois, and Luke Cooper to answer your fantasy football questions here on the Doug and Danny Show.
Every day you struggle to attract new customers and keep the ones you have while keeping the business running and staying in a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, even wraps for your company vehicles. They can make sure you stand out at a fair or convention with a booth that will turn heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, across from the Kearney Chicken Coop, or visit KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some areas of fog early today, otherwise seeing some sunshine develop around the area with a high of 82 with light south winds. For tonight, with clear skies, we'll head down to 58, followed by a high of 82 Friday. I'm Paul Frable. Right now, it's 64.
Doug and Danny Show live at Bandit Sports Bar and Grill here in Grand Island. Come in, whether it's tonight for wing night, watching everything that you want to watch, or whether you'd like to swing in and have a quick lunch and enjoy some time away from the office. or the Homestead. A smoked pork loin sandwich with fries and a soda, just $4.99. Coming up here in a moment, we're going to talk with Bill Cubitt, the Illinois offensive coordinator. But, Steve-O, they have announced the pairings for the Ryder Cup. And, again, you got to get up like at 1:30 in the morning or stay up. Tim, you staying up for the Ryder Cup? Will be open from 1 to 6 in the morning? Oh, definitely. You have to know the special. You got to know the special code to watch the Ryder Cup here. But the best part is it'll be on most likely whenever it is you get up, followed by the afternoon session. So here we go. Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson will play against Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson. Ricky Fowler is paired with Jimmy Walker, and they'll take on Thomas Bjorn and Martin Keimer. Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed, the rookies, will go up against Stephen Gallagher and Ian Poulter. And then what will probably be the featured match, Rory McIlroy is paired with Sergio Garcia against Phil Mickelson and Keegan Bradley there in the morning time slot. So that's what you've got going on for the first set of four ball tomorrow in the opening set, and then you don't know what happens in the afternoon until they kind of wind down that morning session. Well, folks, don't forget to get your questions in for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. We're also going to talk with Steve a little bit of Breeders' Cup right around the corner here and some big races coming up this weekend. But don't forget, Chevy Truck Month going on at your Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac dealer, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Don't let the month of September roll by without checking out the great deals. It's also Ram Truck Month at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with great pricing from the manufacturers on Silverado 1500s, Silverado 25 and 3500s. There's customer cash plus supplier pricing. Customer cash plus supplier pricing, and on all of these new vehicles, a little bonus cash and trade assist as well. Find out more at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Getting closer to Nebraska-Illinois. Start a Big Ten Conference play for both teams. Illinois makes their second consecutive appearance against the Huskers after not getting a chance to tangle the first couple of years in the league. And for Illinois, a lot of the talk last year was Bill Cubitt coming in as the new offensive coordinator. He joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Bill, we really appreciate the time. And boy, everybody has to like what you're doing. Do you like what you're doing, I guess, is the question. All the numbers say it was such a great and improved offense last year. Of course, you got some new kids. But were you satisfied with year one?
Yeah, I thought we made huge strides. I thought we our kids really competed. I thought they really bought in what we were trying to do. And I give that all the credit, really, to the players, because a new guy, I think I was the fourth offense coordinator for Nate. And so they just bought in. I think all the credit really goes to those players.
I want to start here because you guys bring in a new offensive line coach in Tom really late in the process here. Talk about how you guys have been clicking and how hard that was to bring somebody in so late in the process. You have after spring ball.
Well, it's real hard. I mean, we got four coaches really on offense. And me and AJ have been together for a long time. I coached him in Missouri and gave him his first job. And then we kind of grew up, in the business, with ourselves. So, losing him, that was, you have to come back and now you go teach a system. Fortunately, we hired a real experienced guy in Tom Bratton, who's, really knowledgeable and a great football coach. And I knew him from back, we're both Delaware grads. So I think that helped out the transition a little bit. It's been difficult. I mean, it's 2 weeks before the season starts, and you got to do all the, and plus getting all the relationship that he had to have with those kids. So where me and Nate were kind of joined the hip, and now we got we're trying to get the same type of relationship with Tom.
Talking with Bill Cubitt, offensive coordinator at the University of Illinois, as they come in for a homecoming. He wasn't the only new addition. You're working with your son again. That has to be kind of cool. Talk about bringing him on and the relationship that you guys have maybe professionally.
Well, it's probably kind of saved me, perfectly honest with you, because he's around the office and guys have questions, of course they can go up to him. And if I'm tied up, like I said, there's only four of us over there. So, he knows the offense better than anybody. and he's a an excellent resource there. And knowing him personally, having him around is great for me. So it's been a blessing in that respect for having him around all the time.
For our listeners that don't know Coach Cubitt's resume, you've been at all levels. We've got some coaches around here that have been at all levels. You've done the high school, you've done the Division II and Division III, and you've been at a variety of places, obviously, very successful at most of those, including Western Michigan. What are the challenges that you found when you took over Illinois?
Well, I think, the conference, I think, the level of tough talent kind of slipped a little, and so you have to do a lot of different type things. You just don't match up as well in some of the teams you're playing, and so you got to be very creative. And in that respect, you got to have some playmakers. And fortunately last year, we had our leading receiver never played offense, and you got to give Steve Hull a ton of credit. And, we're moving some guy. We had an injury at right tackle, so we got the depth is not where you need it to be to compete in this league week in and week out, and just doing simple things. So I think the thing is you got to be really creative, and you got to keep the other guy on his toes the whole time there, and try to kind of outsmart him, and then the following week figure it out from there.
Talking with Bill Cubitt, offensive coordinator at Illinois, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, getting ready for their matchup with Nebraska. Coach, you had a real season quarterback in Nathan Shiles last year, and you bring in a guy that's not green in Wes this year, Wes Lunt. Tell us maybe the differences between the two. Coach Pelini here at Nebraska said earlier in the week that he didn't think there was a whole lot of change from what he saw, from what both the quarterbacks could do, at least as far as your system goes.
No, we kind of run the system, kind of build around it. I thought Nate's a little better athlete, and I think Wes has a better arm. So, but we kind of try to do kind of similar for the rest of our players, and really Nate, he led the Big Ten in passing. I think if anybody would have said that in the beginning of the year, they all thought we were we're crazy. But I thought he had an exceptional year, and we're just trying to build it with Wes. And so Wes has got a pretty strong arm. I think there's been some adjustment with our wideouts, but our wideouts, we only got one guy to play last year that's really playing a decent amount this year, and Martez Barr, and everybody else is new, and got two freshmen running around out there, and got a JC kid who didn't play last week, Allison. So it's been kind of a feeling out process, I think, in the very beginning. And I get told back, you're just always striving to give yourself better, but we're still averaging 32 points, and I think there's room for improvement, but it's going to get a lot tougher, of course, when we play teams like Nebraska.
Bill Cubitt with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, the Illini offensive coordinator. Nebraska fans got to see Josh Ferguson have a really good game last year against the Huskers. He's back for you. Take us through what he's been able to do on the ground.
Well, he's we've had a little tough time getting him started. I think last week we got him out in space a little bit more, and I think he had a pretty good game. And he's got to really play well for us. He's there's one game breaker you'd say out there right now. Last week, especially with Geronimo Allison out, he's the guy. He's got to play really well, and if he doesn't, we're going to struggle. If he plays really well, at least gives us a chance.
Let's take a look at what your thoughts are here on Nebraska, led by Randy Gregory. It seems like their defense has been playing some fairly solid ball, but they've been susceptible to maybe some big plays through the passing game. What are you seeing from Nebraska's defense?
Well, the front seven, I always think that's the first thing I always look at. And, I just think that up front, they're going to be one of the top couple teams in the league in terms of personnel. The Gregory, it's outstanding, but the other guys are starting to really fit in. I think they're really playing well, so the front four really is a big concern for us. I think the linebackers are playing well, and their secondary, they get enough pressure that this secondary out there, they're doing a nice job. They tackle really well, they fit really well. You could tell they're really well coached. I think Coach Bellini, his defensive staff have done an outstanding job. They give you a lot of different looks. I think the pro experience is really, you know, you could see that part of it with Coach and dealing with him spar back. You know, I coached against him in his first game at Nebraska when I was at Western, and you know, it's the same thing. They're just they do a lot of good things, and they're gonna stop certain things. And you know, he's got a great plan, and you know, we got to work cut out for us.
Just a couple minutes left here with Illinois offensive coordinator Bill Cubitt. He has been in a variety of great places, as we said, from high school all the way to the Division I ranks. Coach Pelini was a little rough on his linebacking crew and maybe the defense a little bit overall for their game against Miami. I'm sure every coach is a little bit tougher on his own group. What did you see? Because he was asked if what you guys do could exploit him a little bit, and every coach is worried. But what did you see on film?
Well, I mean, you know, Miami's got some good players too. You know, it's you know, they you know, typically, you know, in the recruiting class, they're going to be in the top 15 in the country, and you know, every once in a while, a guy gets a little bit free, you know, and all of a sudden you're just half a step behind or a split second late, and you know, those type of teams can make you pay, and you know, that's what I saw. I mean, there's just, you know, a step here, a step there, but yeah, they got good talent in Miami, so. You know, I understand, you know, Coach Blaine, because we're all perfectionists there, but, you know, sometimes you give credit to the other team, and, you know, you just get your guys ready. And, you know, it's, you know, the mismatches, you know, they're, you know, it's more, you know, that we're going to have the issue, okay, with those guys on the other side in Nebraska, because, you know, that I think they're pretty good. I think they're talented. And, you know, sometimes you don't have as many skill guys that you can attack defenses, so we got to find creative ways to get people out in space.
Bill, and for the folks that didn't know, and you mentioned it, All-American at Delaware, what is true today as it was when you started coaching, whether it was at the high school ranks or when you made it to Division I? What's still that one true principle that works for you?
Well, you know, to me, it's a lot about honesty. And, you know, I just, you know, you see sometimes the game is changing a little because, you know, we tell the kids what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. You know, I sure hope that we get back to that. You know, it's, you know, you always have the loyalty factor. Everybody's kind of stayed in the same spot. You know, you're a loyal thing. You do what you need to do. You know, it just seems like some guys now all of a sudden are looking over their shoulder to the next one. And, you know, I wish we'd get back there a little, because I think it'd be a lot more fair to the kids.
And you mentioned, Bill, a little bit about depth. Do you see it coming? And the future is bright. I mean, you've signed on again for another year on your contract extension through at least next season. Do you like some of the spots where maybe now the recruiting is starting to fill in a little bit?
Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, I think we're, you know, even receiver, we're going to be really young again next year. You know, we got two freshmen that are playing for us now. And really, you know, if the recruiting goes the way we think it's going to go, then, you know, we're going to play some more young guys. And I think that's a big issue. And offensive line-wise, that, you know, you get some guys hurt, but, you know, there's some issues there. You know, I think it's probably going to take about another 2 years, really, to get exactly where you need to get. You know, it's not a fix overnight. You know, you could take some guys that you hope that sometimes get out-recruited. And, you know, it's going to take some time. I mean, they haven't had great success here in the past, you know, 20-some years. And, you know, it's going to take a building process. And, you know, we got to stay the course, you know, and hopefully nobody gets hurt and you can build depth through that.
Bill, final question. Let me ask you the question that fans want to know. We're going to be sitting around all day waiting for that 8 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. I would think that would play maybe into your favor a little bit. I don't know if you agree with that, but the challenges by playing so late, and what's it going to take to start the Big Ten Conference 1-0 for the Illini?
A lot. You know, I think it's going to be a fever pitch there. You know, I think, you know, when I was at Western Michigan, I mean, one of the places that I had such a great time was really when I was in Missouri, when we played in Memorial Stadium in Nebraska. And, you know, I always wanted to do that for kids and, you know, Western Michigan. So we went out there and played them. That's one of my all-time favorite. You know, I can count them, you know, about three or four fingers, okay, where I would like to play if I was playing my last game ever. And Nebraska's one of them. Our kids got to be ready to go. And, you know, I think that this is our first night game. We haven't played a night game yet. I think that just sitting around, you know, our kids got to adjust real well. And it's, You know, for a guy like me, maybe I can get a nap in before we play.
I think there'll be a lot of people napping before 8 o'clock, but I'm sure we'll all be ready to go Saturday night. Bill, we really appreciate you making some time for us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll see you in Lincoln on Saturday. Thanks for the time.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Bill Cubitt, offensive coordinator currently with Illinois. Their numbers rose dramatically from 2 years ago to last year in offensive categories. I mean, this is almost 50 points. And when we're talking 50 points or 50 spots, 125 Division I teams, I mean, they're in the hundreds, the 90s in most offensive categories. And a lot of them, they're in 25 to 45 now where they are at offense. Obviously, they still need some defense. As you heard, depth continues to be a problem at Illinois, and their coaching staff is just starting to get to the point now where they've been there long enough that they're starting to fill in some holes. But it's tough, Steve, when you don't have enough good players and then you don't have enough mediocre players because you just don't have enough guys on the team.
It's boggles my mind, Doug. I'm old enough to remember the Dick Butkus glory years at Illinois and then on with the Chicago Bears. Well, how do you explain why nobody wants to go there anymore? Purdue and Indiana, the hotbed in the heart and soul of the Big Ten Conference. I mean, these things are really creating havoc around the country, and competing Big Five conferences, whatever, are using food for fodder, so to speak, recruiting against these teams in the Midwest. I mean, it just boggles my mind.
The short answer is I don't know. And it's proven that you can win almost anywhere, but it seems like the Big Ten was set in its ways and content and wasn't doing a whole lot of big-time fun. Maybe it was just a money deal, and the Big Ten's supposed to have a lot of money, right? That's why one of the main reasons Nebraska wanted to go to the Big Ten Conference is to get that big chunk of pie. That's why Maryland is in now, is to get that big chunk of pie. But they were content, and now I think they fell behind a little bit, and they're trying to catch up with building facilities and knowing that, well, we have to lure kids by more than just saying, hey, we're Illinois, because that's not going to sell anything anymore. And I'm trying to think of a sport that Illinois is great at. They were great at men's basketball there for a little while. But what's a sport that Illinois is great at?
I don't know. I've never been there. I assume that the facilities are a big part of the equation on the downward spiral that that school's experiencing right now. But again, we're going into Chicago and getting their top running back, for example. Why? Westerkamp, Chicago boy, committed earlier to what, Northwestern, before he reversed directions to come out here. I don't think we hear all the exact reasons why these kids changed their mind, but certainly, you know, in the old Bob Devaney days, early years of Tom Osborne, we used to love to cultivate the Pennsylvania, Ohio area to bring kids back here. That's kind of dried up on us, but Illinois is a hotbed.
Well,
especially in Chicago.
Oh, no doubt about it. And you've got to have players out of that area too for your programs. And they have big time other. I mean, Notre Dame's right there, and Michigan State, Ohio State. You know, are all going for some of those kids, folks. So we are here at Bandits in Grand Island on this Thursday. Doug Duda, Steve Anderson, with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. Stop on in for their lunch special: smoked pork loin sandwich, French fries, and a soda for just $4.99. Come in and watch football, baseball, whatever it is on TV tonight. A little more golf, TVG Network on with a little horse racing, and it is wing night here tonight at Bandits. And before we go into our next break, and remind folks that Luke Hoover is right around the corner. A lot of questions already in the hopper here for Luke. So if you want to get yours in, do it right now. Tweet us, email us, Facebook us. But, Steve, I've got to go to the Dent Popper inbox here, because this comes from James here in Grand Island. He says, tell Steve and hi. And he also says, tune-ups are this weekend for the Breeders' Cup. 8 Grade 1 races between Belmont and Santa Anita. You got any info?
You know, James, thanks for the nice comment. And I'd be throwing darts and just lead you astray. It's way too early for me to talk about the Breeders' Cup. I know they have all these win-and-you're-in races right now, and all I can tell you is Bay Earn just toe-roped them last week in the West Virginia Derby. And I guess the only knowledgeable thing I can add, and it's really kind of throwing a dart out there as well. I think California Chrome has been shelled, for the lack of a better term or analysis. I think the Triple Crown races took everything out of this horse. He wasn't anywhere on the radar in that race at Bayern one last week. And I'm sure that the ego will get the better of everybody involved, the connections of California Chrome, and he'll run in the Classic. But I certainly don't think he's a main player anymore. James, you have access to the rags, man. You know all the answers to the test. It's all I can do just to let me peek over their shoulder to see what exactly is going to come to fruition.
Well, at least you didn't say take the gray horse and bet your age.
Yeah.
which sometimes brings home the big, big winner.
My wife would subscribe to that theory.
Folks, hey, don't forget, the Chicken Coop is open on Thursdays with appetizer specials right here in Kearney. Come down for discounted apps. The appetizer specials are on, I guess, kind of that happy hour from 2 to midnight. Usually they're just from 2 to 5, but on Thursday, 2 to midnight, nachos, potato skins, onion rings, buffalo chips, Southwest munchers, just $3.99. The pork style potato skins, $4.99. And the Thursday lunch special, the po' boy shrimp sandwich with your choice of sides, $6.49. If you're in Kearney, stop by the Chicken Coop for lunch today. When we come back, we'll be answering your fantasy football questions with Luke Hoover of RotoWire as we are in Grand Island. The Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth brings us back to Bandits on this Thursday, and we'll be back after this.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? For mature men, there's TrueForm from Complete Nutrition. This daily metabolism-boosting multivitamin has everything you need for long-term wellness. TrueForm supports heart health, a better prostate, energy, mood, memory, and reinvigorates male vitality. TrueForm Power and Performance, a multivitamin for men. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
Perform better. Complete Nutrition.
It's third down and 6, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a $100 Visa gift card. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, when you call now, Prairie iNet will install your system for free. That's a $99 value, a $100 Visa gift card, and free installation just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, wish you on this Thursday. I want to thank everybody that came out to the Husker Lunch yesterday at Cunningham's in Kearney. We'll do it again with Steve Sipple next Wednesday as we get ready for Michigan State. And speaking of Cunningham's, it's time now for the Doug and Daddy at Cunningham's Fantasy Football Challenge. You can get signed up each and every week. Each week is independent of itself, so you don't have to worry that if you didn't do good in the first 3 weeks that you can't catch the leaders. You get to set your lineup every single week. Just click on the Doug and Daddy Show and Cunningham Journal Fantasy Football banner at ESPNSuperstation.com. Log in. Make your team and a $25 gift card to the winner each week, and each week's winner is into the drawing for the Super Bowl party at the end of the year, and it was a one-point contest last week, So choose wisely.
It's time for a fantasy football update with fantasy football expert Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com. Send in your fantasy football questions now and let Luke guide your fantasy team to a championship.
Luke Hoover of RotoWire and RotoWire.com joins us today on the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot of questions. Luke, how you doing?
Good.
Well, we all need running backs. Is that the consensus across the country? Is that the big story this week?
There's an awful lot hurt, and there's an awful lot of good ones on bye this week. It was definitely a week to flex a wide receiver, I think.
Well, let's get right into it, Luke, because there are a bunch of them here, and I don't want to miss out on any of them before we run out of time. So up first, our first question today looks like it's going to be from Eric. And Eric, I don't know how. I've never heard of this, Luke. He says he's in a 20-man league, so the waiver wire is slim to none. At the flex position in a PPR league, do you start Lance Moore, Andrew Corliss, or, and I have to admit, I don't know this guy, Kyle Juszczyk?
Well, that's the fullback for Baltimore. He had 54 yards and a score last week with Dennis Pitta, you know, having the hip injury. He sort of is going to play, I think, a hybrid role as kind of a second tight end for Gary Kubiak's offense. But I think you have to go with Andrew Corliss, who's right now the number one tight end option for Aaron Rodgers. You know, got in the end zone last week with the Packers' only score. And you know, even though he's not getting a lot of targets, with Aaron Rodgers throwing the football and not many weapons outside of Nelson and Randall Cobb right now, he's probably the best of those options.
Let's go to Colin in Amherst, who says, I have Randall Cobb and Eddie Lacy. Should I start Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins?
You can't bench Aaron Rodgers. I know the week was, you know, pretty rough against the Lions, you know, and he's off to a slow start, but Chicago's secondary is so banged up. They're playing, you know, they're literally their last defensive backs against the Jets last week, and I would expect a big bounce back from Rodgers.
Here's a tight end question. How valuable is Jordan Cameron going to be the rest of the season? He says, I have Julius Thomas on a bye week. Cameron also on a bye week. Do I drop Cameron and pick up a tight end, or do I just roll with no tight end this week since we can play that at the flex? He says, I'm afraid if I drop a guy like Cameron, I won't get him back on the waiver wire. In this league, you have to drop position for position.
Well, I think Cameron could be a valuable flex at times given a matchup. I think certainly once he's back to full strength, and I don't believe that he was this last week against the Ravens when he only had one catch, he's probably going to be their number one target until Josh Gordon gets back. You know, but with that said, you know, you already have Julius Thomas, who's a stud. You're going to play every week in that tight end slot. I wouldn't want to risk the zero if it's a, you know, potential for a close matchup. If you're 3-0, you know, you can possibly take that risk, but otherwise there should be a decent tight end option on the waiver wire to drop Cameron for and pick up, or maybe even, you know, whoever else mans that last bench spot.
This comes from Mark to the Dent Popper inbox, who's roaming around Nebraska and Kansas. This is a standard scoring league, and he says, what are you hearing about Carson Palmer? I'm trying to plan ahead. Do you go with Romo or Stanton / Palmer? He wants to know if Palmer, I guess, what you do with those three.
Well, since you already have Romo, I would rather have Palmer than Stanton. You know, it sounds like he's getting better every week, and he expects to be practicing in full next week and playing in week five after their bye.
Luke Hoover with Rotor Wire, would you take Romo or Palmer? Between those two, who would you take?
If you're just picking one, I mean, given the Palmer's circumstances with the shoulder, which, you know, you don't know how that's going to play out over the course of the season, I'd take Romo. I mean, he's, you know, not off to a great start, but he still has good weapons, and I expect him to improve, you know, considering, or, you know, provided his back holds up.
This comes from Andrew in Kearney. Antonio Gates or Vernon Davis at the tight end standard league?
It's got to be Gates this week. You know, he was a little bit limited against Buffalo, and that's the only reason, I believe, you know, he didn't put up bigger numbers. But Jacksonville's been terrible against the tight ends this year. I would even consider, if you're hurting at tight end, Ladarius Green in deeper leagues. That's how bad Jacksonville's been against tight ends. Four different guys so far have caught touchdowns against them at the tight end position.
Well, let's stay there with the decimated backfield at San Diego. Danny Woodhead out for the year. How long is Ryan Matthews down, and is there somebody to go get if you had Matthews or Woodhead, assuming Donald Brown still gets a lot of carries? Is there a backup that you should go consider?
Another in San Diego, are you asking?
Yeah, in San Diego.
Really, no. I mean, you saw Donald Brown got 36 touches last week. He just dominated the opportunities in that backfield. Brandon Oliver is a rookie who could work in, potentially on some passing downs. But until Matthews gets back, Donald Brown's going to be a true workhorse. Definitely a guy you want to roll out this week with a great matchup. You know, the Jacksonville has the last place rush defense right now. And their offense really isn't going to challenge San Diego too much. So I think Brown gets a number of carries again. Matthew's probably going to be another few weeks dealing with that sprained MCL. I don't think they'll rush him back.
Doug Duda, Steve Anderson here on the Doug and Daddy Show with Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Steve?
Luke, what advice do you give for those of us who've lived and died now for three seasons hanging on to RG3? Do we keep him and hope against hope that somewhere down the line he still redeems himself this season, or should we be throwing him into the bathwater and looking elsewhere now?
And you're talking franchise too, right, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah, this is that's a franchise question, Luke.
Right. I felt this actually since last season, that Kirk Cousins is a better passer than RG3 and probably would have more success for Washington in general in that system, particularly Jay Gruden, and have a better career overall. Even from Washington's standpoint, I think they should move forward with Kirk Cousins. If we're talking about fantasy, I do think RG3 will get another chance if it's not in Washington, somewhere else, and if it's like a dynasty format that you're in, I won't give up on him just yet. But there are a lot of young quarterbacks out there that I'd be okay having, at the same time. I'd even consider, if it's a dynasty format and you have a better starter right now or a good starter in place, dropping a guy like RG3 for Blake Bortles.
Wow. There you go, folks. Luke Hoover, we've got a couple more minutes left. So Facebook us, tweet us, email us your questions. Here's a flex question. Who do you start this week in a non-PPR league? Darren Sproles, Roddy White, Marcus Wheaton, Kerry Robinson.
Well, Roddy White's going to be back, it sounds like, and I believe he only sat out last week because it was the short week. They played the Thursday night game. As good as Sproles can be, I think he'll be hit or miss a lot this season. Roddy White's the most steady of that group. I would definitely go with him.
Let's see what else we've got here for Luke Hoover of RotoWire as they keep rolling in. Da, 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 da. Let's see. Kerry Robinson, Martellus Bennett, or Chris Ivory in the flex in a standard league? He says Detroit has been killing running backs, so he doesn't like the matchup there. But what do you think?
Well, Ivory seems to have taken over that backfield, but like you said, Detroit's one of the best run defenses of football. I wouldn't risk it. Kerry Robinson's got a much better matchup against Dallas and probably will lead, that backfield in carries. It's close because Martellus Bennett's been finding the end zone a lot, four touchdowns already in 3 weeks. He scored each game. And, the Packers really aren't defending much this, right now. They did slow down Detroit. But, I think that could be a shootout. I'd give a slight edge to Bennett if you need higher upside. But if you want probably a safer play, and just go for yardage, I like Robinson this week.
This comes from Ben on the ESPN Twitter account. He needs two out of these three in a PPR league: Benjamin, Cooks, DeSean Jackson.
Well, right now, I really wouldn't bench Kelvin Benjamin. Saw a lot of targets last week. I think it was 11 targets, 8 grabs, topped 100 yards, huge red zone threat. So I like Kelvin Benjamin going forward, potentially as a number two wide receiver for the full course of the season. I think he's a 1,000-yard rookie. And then PPR format, Brandon Cooks is probably going to catch more passes than DeSean Jackson. You take away that big play that he had this last week against the Eagles, and he really had a pretty poor stat line. So I'd go with Cooks as well.
Hey, Luke, we've been bombarded by advertisements this year on what I think is a phenomenon. And you know, I'm a little ignorant getting on the computer and seeing what's all available on the internet these days. But these weekly fantasy contests for money, put in $10 or put in $50, we'll match $50. And Joe Blow from Kokomo, he turned it into $100,000 last week. Are these that lucrative? Has it gotten to be that big?
Oh, it's definitely that big. And, you know, those testimonials are, you know, they're the real deal. And, I haven't made that kind of money yet on them, certainly. But, you know, you can do it. You really have to pay very, very close attention to that weekly matchup. And, you know, you're not worrying about long-term, you know, success for these guys. But, you know, who's playing Jacksonville this week? Who's playing that terrible defense where they can really go off and, you know, maybe lead their position in scoring, you know, for that 1 week? That's the type of stuff you want to pay attention to with those leagues. And, you know, they definitely are they're here to stay. They're, you know, I think, you know, going to – you're going to have as many guys playing those, if not more, than, you know, your weekly leagues.
So tell us, what kind of money are they making on RotoWire? I know your service offers those opportunities as well.
You know what? I wouldn't have those statistics for you, but, you know, there's definitely a lot of guys playing them. And, you know, RotoWire is as good a site, you know, if not the best to play on, of course. So, you know, so you should give it a shot. Sign up this week.
Well, there you go. There it is.
I'm hooked.
Yeah, you're done, Steve. Oh, you're absolutely done. I'm not even sure I'm going to keep him through this segment. He's already here at Bandits looking at all the info on the televisions and the computer screens in front of us. A couple more questions as they're flying in here. This comes from somebody I know. Chris in Kearney says, I have Matt Asiata, Lamar Miller, C.J. Spiller, Doug Martin, Eddie Lacy. His question is, what should I do? I could really throw some smart aleck answers at that, but Luke, what should he do?
How many of those guys can you play? That's sort of the question. But
I'm going to guess, you're not gonna bench. Knowing who that is, Luke, I'm going to guess two running backs, and he could use one in a flex in both a PPR and a standard league. I'm not sure which team he has here, but start two running backs.
Can you rattle off that list one more time? I know I caught Asiata, Lacy, Martin.
Asiata, Lacy, Martin, Lamar Miller, C.J. Spiller.
You really can't bench Eddie Lacy. And I really like the upside Lamar Miller brings in that offense. He's a great fit given, you know, his ability to accelerate once he makes that one cut and hits that hole. You know, it's an up-tempo scheme that they run for Miami. Oakland's 31st against the run. You know, they did a, you know, a nice job against New England last week, but I don't expect that to be the same case. Miller had 100 yards and change last week. And, you know, if it's PPR and you can start a third, you know, Matt Asiata is catching the football. He's got, you know, 36 yards last week receiving, had 48 the week before. You know, he's a sneaky option in a PPR league, I think. So those three, you know, I want to see what Doug Martin does, although it's a nice matchup with the Steelers. Again, you know, one of those teams that's pretty poor against the run, pretty banged up on defense as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see Martin have a nice game, but Bobby Rainey is certainly going to eat into the workload there as well.
This comes from Marcus. Do you go with Niles Davis or Chris Ivory?
I can't see benching Niles Davis right now. I don't expect Jamal Charles to play. If he does, I think it's in a limited role. You know, it's that Monday night game, so, you know, you're not going to know probably until kickoff whether or not Charles suits up. But Davis is just absolutely torn it up in 2 weeks. You know, three touchdowns, over 100 total yards in both those games. Ivory, again, like we said, is dealing with that Lions front four.
And the last minute here with Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Are any of these running backs worth picking up? I'm looking at some of these waiver wires in deeper leagues, and I'll pick this one out here. You've got Antone Smith, Atlanta, Darryl Young, and Roy Helu, Washington, Joe McKnight, Kansas City, Rodgers, Atlanta, the fullback, as you said, from Baltimore, Derek Coleman, Seattle. Are any of these guys worth picking up?
Well, unless it's that 20-team league we were talking about, probably not. I like Roy Helu's upside, but that's really only if he's a handcuff to Alfred Morris. I mean, he's a big play type of guy. He did get in the end zone last week. You know, so they were sort of rewarding him, I think, for that big, 55-yard screen. Ripped off, but those are his only two touches. He's not going to get the football enough, but he has a lot of ability and could be productive if Valter Morse gets hurt. So if you have to add one of them, that's the guy to pick up.
Studs and duds, who's got the really good matchup, and who's a guy that you may have drafted in the first two rounds that you sit this week?
Well, the really good matchup, you know, is one of those guys you drafted in the early rounds, but he hasn't played like it. You have to keep riding Eddie Lacy. I think he finally busts through this week and has a big game against Chicago. You know, they did a nice job slowing down Chris Johnson last week, but you saw the bigger back, Chris Ivory, had some success, and I think Lacy will do that. You know, he's been publicly challenged by his coach, so I like a good game to come from him. And, you know, and I wrote about this in my RotoWire column for this week, exploiting the matchups, you know, where I upgrade and downgrade guys. Despite all the bye weeks and having a lot of talent, you know, out of action this week, it's probably the best week for that because there's really not that many terrible matchups. You know, so as far as guys that you would downgrade, wasn't a top pick, but, you know, Chris Johnson, you know, like we said, that Jets the offense going against Detroit's run defense is pretty terrible. You definitely want to have him on the bench. And a guy I'm sitting who you maybe didn't take is high, but he's that name value. You kind of have to bench Tom Brady at this point. He has yet to top 250 yards or throw multiple scores in a game this season.
Wow, yeah, there you go. And Max sneaks in under the gun here. For the rest of the year, do you go with Bradshaw or Garcon?
That is a very interesting question because I have a trade on the table to my brother, giving him Ahmad Bradshaw for Pierre Garcon. So what I'm saying is take Garcon. What I hope he thinks is take Ahmad Bradshaw. But he's listening right now, so we'll see how that goes.
And quickly, last question I think we have here. Your thoughts on the running back situation at both Carolina and at Houston with not only the starter or who they deem the starter, but the guys that are backing up. What's the value maybe in the top two or three in those situations?
Well, in Carolina, my perspective right now is probably to stay away at least temporarily. D'Angelo Williams, you know, still has some ability, and he showed it in week one. He ran pretty well against Tampa. You know, top 70 yards, but he's coming off a quad injury. So I wouldn't play him this week, though. He's the one to own if you're going to own anybody in Carolina. I'd be a little leery of John Stewart now that he has that knee issue. A name to watch, though, you know, as far as that backfield is, you know, concerned, I believe they just signed Lachey Seastrump to the practice squad. You know, guy's got a ton of explosive ability. You know, if he's promoted to the active roster, they continue to have injuries to their older backs. I wouldn't be shocked to see him get some opportunities at some point later on in the year. So it's definitely a name to put on your radar. You know, as far as Houston goes, I think you want to play whoever's starting there. Alfred Blue looked, you know, pretty strong in place of Foster this last week. And it sounds like Foster will be a game-time decision again. So, you know, if you have Blue handcuffing him, you can roll him out. You know, if you've got Foster and he's active, he's always been productive when he's on the field. So I think that would probably stay true throughout the season, you know, and he'll fight through that injury at some point.
And Grimes is just a backup.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right now, Blues looked head and shoulders better.
All right, man, a ton of questions that we got through, and Luke has the answers and the best opinion on all of them. Hopefully it's another successful weekend. And don't forget, if you got Redskins and Giants, get them in your lineup tonight. Luke, we'll do it again next Thursday. Thanks for the extended time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks.
Take care, Luke Hoover, RotoWire, RotoWire.com, there for you 24/7, whether it's football or any other sport. Fantasy baseball will be winding down as well. But Fantasy Football Report brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, your fantasy football headquarters in Kearney. Over two dozen high-definition televisions, including the giant HD projection TV, the NFL Red Zone, NFL Sunday Ticket, and, of course, food and drink for you, appetizers, pizza, wings, coldest draft beer in town. Cunningham's, for every NFL and major college football game all season and during Sunday NFL and our Husker lunches. Get signed up to win tickets to the Nebraska-Minnesota game. We will wrap things up. Doug Duda, Steve Anderson on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're on the road today in Grand Island at Bandits and getting ready for lunch. Join us. We'll be right back.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
The Kearney JCs are looking for a few good men and women. The JCs are a volunteer organization of young men and women 8 through 40 who improve themselves, their community, and the world around them. This Saturday, come on out for the Rock and Roll 5K to benefit the Kearney Tackle Center. Free registration is $20 or $30 before the race begins at 1 at the skate park north of Harmon Park. Then listen to Life Led Lucid playing after the race. New JCs who volunteer for any event get their first year membership for free. Doing good and having a good time doing it, that's the Kearney JCs. Check them out online at Kearney.
I'm a Ford guy. My dad was a Ford guy, and so was my dad's dad. But more to the point, I'm a Crossroads Ford guy. The pickup my dad used to teach me to drive came from Crossroads. The Ford my son will learn to drive comes from Crossroads, too. Why have I stuck by them? Because they've stuck by us. From regular maintenance to the repairs when the driving lessons don't go very well, Crossroads has earned our trust. Their family has always taken care of our family. Small enough to know you, big enough to help. Crossroads Ford in Kearney.
Crossroads Ford!
Winding down the Doug and Danny Show this Thursday edition, live from Bandit Sports Bar and Grill here in Grand Island. Doug Duda, Steve Anderson with you. Don't forget runners, and there's more and more of them out there. Seeing them just staying healthy. Sometimes they're competitive, sometimes they're just staying healthy. Well, they've got the Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run, 8th annual, this Sunday at Yanny Park. 5 o'clock is the 5K run and 5K walk, and then the Kids 1 Mile Fun Run will follow that. And you can register at the site starting at 4 o'clock. So that's the very basic information. You can find out more information at kearneycatholic.org. The Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run, she was a student there. This is the 8th annual edition during Childhood Cancer Month. If you get a chance to run or participate or help, they would love to see you there at Yanny, beautiful Yanny Park in Kearney, on Sunday. A couple of other sports notes as we roll through the time here. It looks like David Santos will be out Saturday. We'll finally probably officially get a word from Bo Pelini today because he will speak or is scheduled to talk after practice today. The other coaches don't comment on those type of things, so we'll hear from the coach today. There is a little more high school football on this Thursday night across Nebraska than usual. About the only area game is Bertrand hosting Southwest tonight. Nebraska volleyball opens Big Ten play sweeping Iowa. They play them again on the road Saturday. Concordia beats the Hastings volleyball team for the first time in 7 years, but it went 5 sets, 15-12 in the fifth. Soccer, UNK women are at Missouri Southern State tonight. Hastings men lost to 16th-ranked Kansas Wesleyan yesterday, 5-2. High school volleyball tonight on Classic Hits 98.9. Wilcox Hildreth will host Axtell and Southern Valley, all three programs with good records early in the season. The Triangular begins at 5. Grand Island is home tonight against Lincoln North Star. Kearney is hosting Fremont. Adams Central is at Holdridge. There are also Trianglers at Elwood, Shelton, and SEM. And we will have tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, Tri-City Storm head coach Jim Holton as they open the season tomorrow night at Lincoln. We had a great preseason at 6-0-1. He'll be joining us on the show. Also, Robin Washit from Husker Online, Husker Recruiting News, and some final thoughts on Nebraska, Illinois. Jimmy Langan will be in to give his picks. He's been one better every single week. And we'll have Pigskin pick him. And there's 30 in the Cunningham's Hopper for this weekend.
Mr. Langan, he was red hot on a couple of picks last week with teams that I heard you say he normally doesn't mess with. One was Nebraska and the other was Alabama. Jimmy, if you're listening, I don't have a problem stepping up to the window. And when you give the endorsement and the green flag goes up on the roof, I was first in line. Thank you very much. Just a quick note, Doug, for any of my horse racing brethren that are listening in this morning, a guy by the name of Klaus Johns, who's been the backbone of Nebraska Thoroughbred Horse Racing, is fighting for his life this morning at a hospital in Omaha. A longtime farrier, a horseshoer slash trainer. Klaus is a guy that would come along and once a week and try to put me in a half Nelson. And I miss the big German, and we need to have all our thoughts and prayers directed towards him as he tries to make what is now a miraculous comeback.
There are a lot of, it seems like we're talking about things like that more and more, and it just affects everybody, because yesterday I was a part in the afternoon of the Cole Roseberry second annual Memorial Golf Tournament. It was a beautiful day. Thanks to everybody that helped put that together, took the time, contributed the funds, go to, and again, it's hard to believe that in Kearney or Grand Island or Hastings or any of the small communities that you just don't realize from time to time that kids need toothpaste, kids need a pair of socks, kids need a coat for the winter, school supplies that maybe their families can't provide them. And a lot of the funds, and there was a good raising yesterday, go to this and to help some simple needs for some. It's not just friends, it's for the entire community. So thanks to all that donated their time yesterday. And finally, on a wrestling note here, it's not that time of the season, but the district pairings are out. And I always chuckle. It doesn't matter if it's wrestling, but this is the one with cross country and golf where always the district sites are up in the air. You know, each year they're different. And in Class A, there's nothing around here this year for district wrestling. Three of them in Omaha, one of them in Lincoln. Nothing in North Platte, Fremont, Norfolk, Kearney, Grand Island. None of them hosting a district. Kearney will go to the A1 at Papillion. Grand Island will go to the A2 at Lincoln Southwest. And Hastings will go to the A4 at Omaha North High School. And that is on Valentine's Day, a Saturday this year, Steve-O. So there's your first heads
that
up.
That makes absolutely no sense. The hotbed of wrestling is right here in the third city. Or can I call it the third city anymore?
Well, we're timers. We're old timers. And they know how to run a tournament, too. And I'm not saying these other places don't, but you're guaranteed that. Class B, most of the district area teams will be at the B3 district down the road at Aurora. Their new athletic director, Jay Stair, see if he knows how to run a wrestling tournament. He'll probably just, you know, be in the concession room back there, coach's room, trying to take care of the food. And the Western teams will head out to Shadron State College for the B4. That includes Holdridge, Lexington, Cozad, Broken Bow. That's where their district is. And I know that this always makes the folks in the Class C district smile just a little bit, because some of them will be at the Central City in the C3. But the Western teams, like Arcadia Loop City, Kearney Catholic, Minden, Ravenna, Loomis Bertrand, Southern Valley, you can see Wyoming from Mitchell, Nebraska, and that's where they are headed. Hopefully the weather is nice for that long trip. And the D3 this year will be at Elm Creek. Majority of the time, that's either Elm Creek or Amherst. And that's going to wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show today. The time just seems to fly right by. Jim Holton, Tri-City Storm Coach, Robin Washett of Husker Online will join us on the program tomorrow, plus Jimmy Lyon's Selections, Pigskin Pick'em, as we get you ready for a football Friday. We want to thank Illinois Offensive Coordinator Bill Cubitt for joining us on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Luke Hoover from RotoWire to answer all your fantasy football questions. Don't forget, Bandits open for lunch every day, and today the smoked pork loin sandwich, french fries, and a soda, only $4.99. It's wing night tonight. Come in and enjoy your favorite beverage, enjoy some wings, watch your favorite sports, get ready for the Ryder Cup, which in the Central Time Zone tees up tomorrow at 1:30 in the morning, and the Saturday Illinois game. Come in, watch football all day long. It's going to be beautiful. I know you're going to be out golfing, finishing some yard work, chasing the kids around, but the game's at 8. Come in, enjoy it. Burgers on the grill, beer bucket specials, 5 for 12, 6 for 15, $2 cherry bombs every time the Huskers score. It's going to be a great weekend, we hope. And Steve Anderson, we saved the best for last.
thank you for being part of the show today.
Hey, I'll tell you what, and thank you very, very much. Bandits, I love this place. The good news is I can walk home from here. The bad news is somewhere between 13th and Capitol Avenue, I've got to cross Highway 281. I don't recommend it. Hey, don't stay away so long next time.
I'll tell you what, that's why you go home so early in the morning, because there's less traffic. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.